Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 50. This is also known as the third servant song. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, has four servant songs, and this is the third of them. And in this particular one, we see a clear prophecy of Jesus, the one who is crucified for us, the one who suffered for us as our suffering servant. And in this passage, he is being mocked and beaten and spat upon. And what we would expect someone in that kind of a situation to do is probably to want to run away or maybe to unleash vengeance and get revenge on their enemies. But we see Jesus, the suffering servant, doing something unexpected here. Here he continues forward. He sets his face like a flint. He becomes stone-faced so that he is able to focus on the love that he has for all of us, his children. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my life as a pastor, so much of it is not what I ever expected it to be. And let me just kind of explain what I mean by that. So this past week, I was really blessed to have this opportunity to be with a group of wonderful Christians from this area, some of them from our own congregation, some of them from New Minden, some from Nashville, and we went down to Southeast Texas, where we had an opportunity to help out some people who were really down and out after Hurricane Harvey hit about a year ago. And so last Saturday, we left at like 6:30 in the morning from Nashville, and we didn't arrive in Corpus Christi, Texas until 1:30 the next morning. So we had a lot of time on our hands last Saturday. We had plenty of time to get to know each other in the car and you know, just kind of talk about whatever. But in the course of this drive on the way down, I was asked a question that I've been asked plenty of times before, but it's been a while since I've answered it. And it usually goes something like this. Pastor Wallenberg, how did you decide to go into ministry? And it's a pretty interesting story, I think, and I don't have time in the sermon to share all of the details, but the point is, starting to think about that question again for me brought me back to another time, brought me back to about 15 years ago, actually, in my mind, in the summer between my junior year and senior year of high school. And as I was thinking about that time, so this is like, I don't know, somewhere around the year 2003, I had no idea what it meant back then to be a pastor, right? Like, I had been involved in church my whole childhood, and I had great pastors growing up, but I had no clue what pastors actually did. And I really didn't know what it meant to be a pastor. I just knew that I wanted to work in the church, I wanted to help people, I wanted to share the gospel of Jesus with people. And so I had no concept of what the rest of my life would be like up until now, right? What these next 15 years would be like, what my personal life would be like. I had no idea that God was going to send me to the Mexican border in Texas for 4.5 years, where I served at St. Paul Lutheran Church in McAllen. And I certainly had no concept of what it would be like to move to a place like this, to a small rural town, you know? I had no idea that I would ever learn the difference between corn and soybeans, tractors and combines, planting seasons, harvest seasons. I would learn that ski was a soda, like all the really important things in life, right? I had no concept of any of this. And even 2 years ago, when I made the decision to accept the call and come here to Trinity in Hoyleton, I had no clue what I was getting into, right? Like, I came from a city, McAllen, Texas, that had 135,000 people. And so coming to a village of about 500 or so, I mean, I pretty much assumed that there wouldn't be a whole lot of things going on around here. Like, I assumed that every once in a while I might get a little bit bored. Yeah, right. There's so much going on around here all the time. And that's a good thing. Today we were blessed with another baptism in our congregation. Yesterday we had a funeral. Next week we're going to have church in the park. I mean, it just seems like week after week, day after day around here, there's something big happening. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's a testament to how vibrant this community is. But again, this is not really what I expected. How do you tend to react when things don't go the way that you expect them to in your life? This is a pretty important question, because I think, honestly, that we'd all have to admit that we don't love it when our plans change. You know, especially if they change at the last minute, or especially if they change because of circumstances that go beyond our control. And just kind of going back to this Texas relief trip this last week, you know, we got down there, and before we left, one of the common questions I kept getting asked was, what are you going to be doing when you get there? And I never really had a really great answer for anybody. And even when we got there, we had a little orientation meeting with our volunteer coordinator. His name is Chelsea. She had this whole list of things that she wanted us to do as a group. But it rained pretty much the entire time we were there. And all of the things that she had in mind for us were things that would have required us to be outside or to travel to towns where if it rains too much, it gets flooded and you can't even get there. And so all of a sudden, at the last minute, we had to change a whole bunch of things. We had all these details that had to change. And, you know, I really appreciated that our group was flexible enough that it worked out pretty well. You know, we ended up working on some indoor projects there. We got to help these two lovely people, a lady named Suzanne, who needed her whole house rewired, and we had this guy named Don, and he has his whole house gutted down to the studs. And I mean, there's just these indoor projects that we got to do that wasn't the original plan. And it was good. It was good that we got to do that. It was good that the Lord placed that work in front of us. And it wasn't about us and our agenda. It was about what He wanted us to do this past week. And just as a little brief commercial in the middle of the sermon here, if you're curious as to what we did do in Texas, there are actually some pictures on Trinity's Facebook page right now. And next Sunday, when we have church in the park, at 8:30, before the service starts, I'm going to be in the red room in the community building, and I'm going to be presenting a little bit about our trip. So if you want to see some pictures or ask any questions, come and join us next week at 8:30 in the red room. I think it'll be worth your time. But anyway, going back to all this talk about expectations versus reality, brings you back now to this Old Testament reading here in Isaiah chapter 50. In the same way that being a pastor isn't exactly what I expected it to be, and being in Hoyleton is not what I expected it to be, and going down to Texas last week didn't turn out to be what I expected it to be, in the same way, I think we see in Scripture over and over again that Jesus is not who humanity expected him to be. Even the Israelites, God's chosen people, the ones who were called upon by God to be on the lookout for the Messiah, to be watching for the promised Savior of the entire human race, even they were caught off guard by Jesus when he finally did come into this world. Because Jesus is so much different from you and me. In the sense that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. You know, you and I, we view every experience in our life from birth until physical death through the dusty, dirty lens of sin. Whereas Jesus is pure and holy and perfect. And Jesus does what nobody else does. In fact, Jesus does what nobody could possibly do. The world did not expect Jesus. But they should have. Because if you look at these words here, these words from Isaiah chapter 50, it's amazing. It's amazing that hundreds of years before the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, The word, that same word of God, came to Isaiah. And he said, I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. In other words, Isaiah is pretty clearly and descriptively prophesying about the crucifixion of Jesus, the suffering servant. And as Jesus made his way toward Jerusalem, as he made his way closer and closer to Good Friday, we know that these words from Isaiah were on his mind and on his heart. Jesus fully expected and anticipated all of the terrible things that he had to endure for you and for me. And what we would expect is that somebody that had that kind of foresight and foreknowledge of all these things that were going to happen, somebody like that would probably do everything in their power to make sure that that didn't happen. And yet, that's not what Jesus did at all. In fact, Jesus did exactly the opposite. And we read here in verse 7, therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. So his face becomes like a flint. His face becomes like a stone, set and determined, calm, not wavering, not worrying, focusing on the love that he has for all of us as his children. And it's that stone-faced determination that leads our Savior Jesus to endure things like an unfair trial, and mocking and beating and spitting, and a gruesome death upon the cross, even though at any moment he could have called upon an army of angels to rescue him from this terrible stuff. That's maybe what we would expect somebody with his kind of power to do. But again, Jesus is constantly doing the unexpected. And it's a good thing, too. Because since Jesus set his face like a stone and won salvation for us, that means God now continues to do unexpected things in our lives today. You and I, we've been sort of trained by all of our experiences in this world to expect disappointment, to expect pain and suffering, and just to be blunt, to expect death. And truthfully, because of all of the sin that exists within us, we know that that's exactly what we would deserve if we were on our own. But we are not on our own. As Christians, we have been given the gift of faith, which, just like the imagery in the hymn that we just sang, that faith sort of picks us up out of the sinking sand and places us upon the solid rock of Christ where we stand. Faith is what makes it so that we can have hope even though we would have expected hopelessness. Faith makes it so that we can have joy where maybe we would have expected sorrow. Faith means that we can have life even though we would have expected death. Faith makes it so that we can actually set our faces like a flint, like a stone, even though we encounter all kinds of things that are difficult and scary, illness and loss and abandonment and broken relationships, and the list goes on and on and on. But we can face these things with confidence, with our head lifted high, because we know that Jesus Christ will never abandon us in the valley of the shadow of death. As life goes on, we will continue to face the unexpected, things that surprise us, things that throw us a curveball every once in a while. But in those moments when it just seems crazy and you're just looking around for something, anything solid to hold on to, may we all ultimately grab a hold of Christ, the rock of ages, the chief cornerstone, the one who set his face like a flint for you. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.